Okay, this week we learn about the mitzvah of Hafrosh Haschala. It says in the pasuk Reishis Aris Hasechem. The pasuk says Reishis Aris Hasechem Chala Tarimu Siruma. The first of your dough of Chala. Chala is it's a hard word to translate. The word Chala. Chala means, it's a special word which refers to the tithe, the portion that you take from, that you take out of dough. Tarimu, you shall lift up siruma, an uplifting. And it's equivalent, kisrumas goyren, just like you take teruma, you take grain from the threshing floor. Kain, so too, tarimu oisa, shall you uplift it. Very pasuk. The pasuk describes dough. Reishis aritzo seichem, the first of your dough. So what is dough? Dough is you mix water and flour. Water and flour, it's mixed. And the reishis, the first thing that you shall do when you produce a dough is chala reishis aritzo seichem, the first of your dough, chala, a separation, tarimu seruma. Chala appears to also mean a separation. Let me, in fact, look at Rashi. Let's do this the right way. Perik tes vav pasuk chaf.
Atzvaschum.
There we go. Perik tes vav.
Yishetolshu kidei arisol seichem.
Pasuk Chaf. First thing we learn over here, something very important about Chala. There are many different halachas. The mitzvah of Chala first begins when you enter into Eretz Yisrael. Ashrani maybe eschem shama v'chaya b'cholchem, when you eat. There's a lot of verbosity in the mitzvah of challah. That's what makes it very complicated. Opens up many, many halach issues. You come into Eretz Yisrael, the land Ashrani Nevi Eschem Shama V'Hoya Ba'acholchem, when you eat Milechem Haaretz. Here we have the word lechem. When you eat Ba'acholchem Milechem Haaretz, Tarimu, you shall lift Siruma, in uplifting LaHashem. Let me read you the words of Rashi on Pasuk, on this Pasuk. In this Pasuk, there are no Rashi, but in Pasuk Yudches, we have some Rashi. Rashi says, "V'vayachem el aretz mishune biyazu mikol biyos shebetoira." Right away, Rashi says something off the charts. This biya, this entry, "V'vayachem," is unique. You're not going to have any equivalent of this type of biya in the entire Torah. Why? Because Shabakula Nemar Kisavo Lefika Kulan Lamuda Zu Mizu. Vikavon, all of the other Bios in the Torah, it says Kisavo, and here it says, does not say the word Kisavo. Here in this pasuk it says Asher Ani Mevi. In other words, here Hashem is the one who is bringing you in. In all of the other times in the Torah where it talks about coming into the land, it says when you come, it's your entry into the land. Here, the pasuk describes that Hashem is the one who is bringing us in. We are doing nothing. We are just guests. We're sitting in the car and Hashem is driving. He brings us to the land. Therefore, kulan lemedo zo mizo bekevon shepar lucha kasa beachas mechen she'en el leachar yerusha v'yeshiva af kulan kein. Aval zu nemar ba bevayachem mishenich nusuba v'ochlu milachma, from its spread nischayva b'chalach. Let's explain a lot of things going on over here. First thing over here is Rashi says over here the laws of challah begin even before conquest. Even before conquest. Other halachas, what's the classic halacha? Yovel and Shemitah. When did Klal Yisrael begin to count Yovel, Shemitah and Yovel? Not the moment when they entered into the land. 14 years later. Why? It took them 7 years to conquer the land and 7 years to divide the land. Then they first began to calculate Shemitah and Yovel. And there are other halachas like this as well. But when it comes to challah, it's unique. Why? Because challah does not say anything about Yerusha, inheritance, and dwelling. All it says here in this parasha is when you enter, Asher Ani Mevi, your arrival. Therefore, the laws of challah begin the moment you come into the land. Truma and Meiser. When do the laws of Truma and Meiser begin? Not right away. After Kibush, V'chiluk, conquest and division. Just like Shemitah, just like there are some other laws that are Tluyos Baretz. But when it comes challah does not depend on dwelling in the land, does not depend on dividing the land. The moment you enter the land, the laws of challah begin. That's a very important halacha. Why am I trying to bring out that point now? The question is, are we obligated to do challah here in Chutz La'aretz? And obviously, yes. Who doesn't know that halacha? That today we have an obligation to mafresh challah even in Chutz La'aretz. Why? If challah is compared to teruma, as the pasuk will go on to say in one moment, we compare challah to truma, and truma, the law is in chutz la'aretz. You've never seen a person be mafresh truma semaishrais, and even in Eretz Yisrael, this that we mafresh truma semaishrais is only midrabanan, is not deraisa. So why is challah different? So here we already have a little bit of a flavor why. Then it's not there's not a good answer. This is a question which bothers the commentators, the poskim, the rishonim to no end. Why is it that challah l'machuiv and challah even chutz liaretz, whereas all of the other halachas that are tluyos baretz do not apply in chutz liaretz? The first tidbit, the first thing we extract is this Rashi: Mishuna bia zo mikol bia shebetayra. The bia, the entry of that is presented in the beginning of the parasha, is unique relative to all of the other times it says in the Torah that when you come into the land, you shall perform this mitzvah. All other bias, it mentions you will dwell in the land, you will divide the land. Once we have been out there, for the pasuk is indicating that it depends upon our living and our conquest of the land. If we're not living in the land and we have not divided the land, then in Hanami, the laws of Truma do not apply. Okay, the laws of Chodosh. What about Chodosh? Are we obligated to wait until Pesach and Chutz La'aretz to eat produce of the earth? Are we obligated? So everyone knows that Bizman Hazeh, most of us are very lenient. We rely upon the opinion of the Bach, who holds that no, there's no obligation. Just like there's no obligation to observe the laws of Chuma and Maestres and Chutz La'aretz, there's no obligation to observe the laws of Chodosh and Chutz La'aretz. In Shemitah and Yovel, there's also no such thing. You want to work the land in Shemitah and Chutz La'aretz, there's no such thing. Because all of those parashas begin, it makes mention in the parasha of coming into the land and living in the land. That means that the mitzvah applies only if you're living, you're actually physically living in the land. But challah, there is no mention of living in the land. It's purely a trigger, a time. When you enter into the land, now the mitzvah of challah begins. And that is extremely bizarre. What do I mean by that? This indicates that in the desert, let's say the Jews, we all know they had man, but Chazal tell us that there were merchants who passed through the desert and the Jews would purchase different items from the non-Jews, even bread, grain. I think there's a medrash. Did they act? Why not? Even though Hashem gave us the lechem abirim, if a person wanted to have a real piece of bread, a real bagel, they had Brooklyn bagels even in the desert. There was a shop in the middle of Saudi Arabia, in the middle of the sand, a stand, Brooklyn bagels. Could you imagine such a thing? So you go over to the guy at the stand in the desert, the 40 years in the desert, you say to him, "We mafresh challah? Who's the mashkiach here?" Says, "It's the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the mashkiach here." Don't you know that? And yes, I was mafresh challah. Excuse me, sir. There's no obligation to be mafresh challah on the Brooklyn bagels in the desert, because the pasuk says it only begins when we come into the land. So the person says back, that doesn't make any sense. Are you obligated in the desert? If a person wants to eat in the veil, wants to eat meat, I want to eat. Do you have to do a shechita? Of course you have to do a shechita. No such thing. Are you allowed to eat basa b'cholav in the desert? Are you allowed to wear shatness in the desert? Are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos in the desert? Of course not. Every single mitzvah in the Torah that does not depend upon the land, does not depend upon living in the land, applied immediately, without delay. Hashem, everyone knows the famous Chazal. Why? Everyone knows that. Why do we eat on Shavuos blintzes? I don't have any blintzes. Baruch Hashem, I don't have any blintzes. I'm innocent. I don't eat cheesecake. I don't even have a piece of cheesecake. The first year, in a long time, I didn't even have one piece of cheesecake on Shavuos. Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, I was not nichshol in eating cheesecake this year. But everyone knows that on Shavuos, there's an inyan, you have to have a meal of milchiks, of blintzes and cheesecake. Why? So there are at least 100 reasons. But one of the reasons that you'll always hear a child tell you is because when Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, he surprised them. He told him, guess what? You're not allowed to have bug. You have to have shechita. All your food is treif. All your pots and pans are treif. They pashut did not have time to kasher the kalim to make fleishiks for the seuda the next day on Shavuos. So they had no choice but to go and take out some hard cheese from the refrigerator and some milk and Cheerios, and they had milchiks. They just didn't have the kalim to make fleishiks, so they had milchiks. To mekayim the minug, the Klal Yisrael were not able to kasher the kalim instantly on Yom Tov. So we add hayayim azeh, we also have milchiks on Shavuos. Is that the real reason? I have really no idea, but that's what everyone says. That's what people say. So what do you learn? What do you take out of that? You take out of that at least one little halacha, is that all of the laws of the Torah were in effect immediately. The moment Klal Yisrael came into the desert, they were given the Torah, everything started immediately, with the exception of the mitzvahs that were tluyos ba'aretz. What are those mitzvahs tluyos ba'aretz? Truma and Meiser, and according to the Bach Chodosh, and Shemitah, and Yovel, and they're probably a long list. They all depend on living in the land. We do not live in the land. We're living in the desert. So there's nothing to talk about. There's no din Shemitah in the desert. There's no din. If you go in the sand and you plant grain in the sand, if you plant grain in the sand and grain grows, there's no chiyuv to go giving truma to the Kohanim in the desert, because the Torah says when you come into and you live in the land. But everything that's not dependent on the land starts right away. Challah is something that is in a class by itself. It's really an amazing mitzvah, and I don't know if there's another precedent to this. I don't know if there's even one mitzvah in all of the Tayag mitzvahs that can match this, and maybe that's why it's very chaviv. And that is, challah did not apply in the desert. It did not apply in the desert. If you go find in the desert in Saudi Arabia a stand, cart, Brooklyn bagels, you want to buy real bagels, the guy behind the counter does not have to be mafresh challah, because in the desert we did not yet enter. We did not yet enter the land. The moment that we enter the land, I assume that means the 10th day of Nisan, 40 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the 10th day of Nisan, which really makes it 40 years minus 5 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim, we came into the land, we crossed the Yarden. Now the Brooklyn bagel guy has to be mafresh challah. Oh, what about Truma and Meiser and Yovel? No. That needs living. If you're living in tents, you're living in an RV, you're not yet chayiv in all of those mitzvahs. You need kibush l'chiluk. That's going to take another 14 years. Once it starts, it never stops. Even after there was a churban, even after everything is said and done, once it starts, the obligation to be mafresh challah never ends, not in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. So now we have an appreciation here. I hope Michal, you hear Michal? Michal, you hear? Mike, that's you, Michal? Michal, you hear? This is your question. Michal's issue is always the first.
I'm here, but it's a little noisy here now. What?
I'm trying to present you with your favorite Rashi, the first Rashi in Chumash.
Yes.
Chumash of why did the Torah begin with Ma'aseh Bereishis?
Yes.
Why did it go with Ma'aseh Bereishis? So why would Koya Chamav to tell?
Bereishis Ariso Seichem. Yes.
I didn't get to that. No, that, you're jumping ahead. I didn't say that. But why? What was your question? What was the Rashi's first question? Ma tam pasach bebereishis mishum koyach masav higil yamo lo seis lohem nachalas koyim shem yoymu umos oylem lishol listem atem shekibashtem arzois shivas koyim. You conquered the holy land. Heim oymrim lohem kol oret shalakadosh baruch hu hi bira'a v'nidna lasher yosha be'enav v'ritzoyna nosna lohem v'ritzoyna nitlo mehem v'nosna lanu. That's the first Rashi. What else do Chazal say about the first pasuk in the Torah, which is very bizarre? Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'es aretz b'shvil chala, because of the mitzvah of hafrashas chala, which is called reshis arisoy seichem. That's why bara Elokim es hashamayim v'es aretz. What? There are Taryag mitzvahs. There are 613 mitzvahs. You're telling me that this was the mitzvah? Bereishis, b'shvil, the mitzvah that's called Reishis, Chala, Reishis, Aritzo Seichem. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Shemaim and the Aretz. What? Why? I don't know. We're not going to find an answer that's going to satisfy us to that question. However, with this idea, we do at least gain an appreciation that challah is very different. Because in all of the Taryag mitzvahs, the only one that first began for the very first time and never came to an end was when we came into Eretz Yisrael, is challah. All the other mitzvahs start immediately in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu was the others who Mekayim Kol Torah Kulo for it was given, but not challah. Chal is only when you come into Eretz Yisrael. Has to start when you come into Eretz Yisrael. Chal is different. Chal is not necessarily with the Mekayim. Chal first begins when we come into Eretz, when the Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael. When it comes to Trumas and Ma'aseh, no, that's for sure not. So manafshach, either you have to live in the land, it's totally in the land, or it doesn't make a difference where you live. The only one that does not follow the rules is the mitzvah of challah. It applies in Chutz La'aretz. Mm-hmm. It applies no different in Chutz La'aretz. Yet, when did it begin for the very first time? The day that we entered into Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why we have the entire Chumash Bereishis is to let the world know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world and is giving the Holy Land to Klal Yisrael. And in the same opening pasuk that tells us this yesod, Eretz Yisrael is the property of Klal Yisrael. It's now not a surprise. It doesn't answer the question, but it's not a surprise to us why it says Bereishis. It's because of Challah, which is the only mitzvah that first began and never expired from the moment that we stepped foot into the land when Klal Yisrael as a nation put their feet down on the ground on the 10th day of Nisan, it's because of that mitzvah, Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. Again, the question is not answered, why is it so significant? But you do see, if the whole Chumash Bereishis is here to tell us it's our Eretz Yisrael, and that's what it's all about. And in the very first pasuk that tells us that fact, it also tells us about the mitzvah of challah. Of course, I understand. Because challah is the only mitzvah that is waiting to begin when we come into Eretz Yisrael. And once we come in, that we reach that moment in time, it never goes away. It never goes away. It's with us wherever we go, even in Chutz L'Aretz. Okay, this at least explains a little bit an appreciation of why, how that Rashi comes into play. Now let's go further. We have a lot of different things to compare it to. Okay, let me turn back to, I lost the page when I turned to Chumash Bereishis. Parshas Shalach. Okay, now we go to the next Rashi. Next Rashi is Reishis Arisa Sechem Chala Tarimu Siruma Kishumas Kain Trimu Isa. A lot of verbosity, which is making for us a lot of trouble. And Rashi here says, Rashi picks up on the word vihaya. Pasuk Yutes begins, vihaya, it will be b'cholcha milechem aretz. Pasuk Yutes in Rashi, there is no Rashi, how do you like that? There is no Rashi, let's go to Pasuk Chof. Reishis arisa seichem, kishetiloishu kidei isoy seichem, when you will need dough, enough dough, shatem regilim lo lushba midbar, vekamahi, vayamodu ba'omer, omer lagogoyles, where he goes over here into the shiurim. Okay, we know this 43 eggs and a fifth, 43.2 eggs. You need to have flour equal to the volume of 43.2 eggs to mimchayv and challah to make a bracha to rimu may roshoseha kiloimar koydim shetoichlu mimenu reishis chelboy. So here is what he says, reishis. Okay, the first you saw it is, and even the halacha, what is the translation of the word reishis? The beginning. We always have a very difficult time translating this word. The word always changes meaning depending on the context. And here we learn a halacha. You're not allowed to eat from the bread until you separate challah. The challah must first be separated. You cannot eat the bread. And then at the end, whatever is left over, I'll give to the Kohen. It doesn't work like that. When it comes to Truma and Meiser, if it's Shabbos, and you forget to separate Truma and Meiser, there's such a technique where you can wait until the end and whatever is left over, you can give. When it comes to Challah, there's no such thing. Challah has to be separated in advance. If you forget to separate challah, then just designate one entire challah as challah, as the separation. There's no shear to challah. Challah, mikra din is even a mashahu. We give a certain shear, a kazari, we give a certain shear, 1/48, whatever it is. But here you learn the halacha, reishis. It's called reishis. It is critical that you're not allowed to eat from your bread until you first separate the challah. That's a very critical halacha, and that presents now as an extension of that halacha that would demand that we should separate the challah even before we bake the bread. Even before we bake, we put the bread in the oven to bake the dough, we shall already, racious. The very first thing is take that dough, separate it, set it aside and give it to the Kohen. Bake it as a special dough and whatever, and give it to the Kohen. Either give it to him raw or bake it into its own loaf of bread and give it to the Kohen. But you should not proceed until you do the hafrashas challah. What is the problem with that? The problem is matzah. When we bake matzah, we're on a clock. We have 18 minutes. We have 18 minutes to bake the matzah. If you're going to start saying l'shem yichud and wash your hands and start davening and saying tehillim and getting a kvittel and going and doing a fundraiser, can you imagine? You're baking the matzah. You have 18 minutes. And now it's time you knead the dough. And now before you're going to roll into matzah, wait a minute. Hafrosh haschala. Let's now set up a campaign to raise money online for Hafrosh haschala. So it will take you a couple of days to get a lawyer, to set up an account, to go and do a fundraising, make a fundraising appeal. Everyone who wants to go give $18 out of the schus that the Rebbe will read your name and say Tehillim before we do Hafrosh haschala. By the time you get around to being Mafrosh haschala, it will be already 3 years from now. The dough will have risen, will be chametz 10 years, not after 18 minutes, it'll be chametz after 18 years of chametz, waiting if we're to go into the oven. If you're going to wait to be Mafrosh haschala, if you're going to wait, if you're going to be Mafrosh haschala before you bake the matzos, there'll be chametz. You'll say the Rebbe is going to say L'shem Yichud. He's going to shakel. He's going to go to the mikvah. He's going to give tzedakah. He's going to, you know what's going to go on? It'll be chametz. But the pasuk says reishis. So it's fascinating that it's the minhag Yisrael. I don't know if there's any exception to this. I don't know. I'm not into the matzah business. I don't think there's any exception. This is the only time when you first bake and then ask questions later. You first bake the matzahs, and the matzah should be 100% non-chametz, u'shmartim es ha-matzahs, and then you take one matzah and you make a bracha and you designate it as challah. Very chiddush. Ordinarily, you never do that. When you make bread in bakeries, they don't do that. They do the challah in advance. The mafresh, the challah, when it's dough. Reishis arisoiseichem, the first of your dough. It's a wonder that when it comes to baking the matzah, we do not do that. We do not mafresh challah when it's a dough. We first bake the matzah, and then we take one of the matzahs and we make the bracha, and we designate it as challah. That also creates its own set of complications, but because since it's no longer dough, it's separate pieces. If you want to be mafresh from separate items, all of them must be collected in domain, one reshus, in one area. They have to take a shmata and cover all the matzahs, so it's considered to be min hamukaf. They're all connected together, and then you one challah, one matzah. If you don't do that, if you have different piles of matzahs and you just take one matzah, it's no good. You're not yoytzei, and it's a terrible avera. That means the people who are eating the matzah are eating, they're eating tevel. I'm eating the matzah as a chiv misa bidei shamayim. Isn't it shocking? When you buy matzah, you have to be very, very careful. You have a good hechsher. Not so much for the matzah. For the challah, to make sure they were mafresh challah after they baked the matzahs kedas uchidin. If you go into a bakery and the mafresh challah, now I'll get to a bakery in a few moments, so they mafresh challah when it's dough. So when it's dough, what could go wrong? You take a little piece and you say you make a bracha, or you take a piece that's it's dough. What could go wrong? But when you make mafresh the challah after the piece of baked, they've been fully baked, then there's a halacha. It's not called a good hafrosh unless they're all together. They all have to be in the same location, and that demands that you take a sheet and you cover them all up to bring them all together, and then you make the bracha and you take out one matzah. You have to have a mashkiach who knows halacha to make sure that he does it correctly. Otherwise, the people who are buying the matzahs, they're buying matzah. You're not mafresh challah. And it's you eat bread that you're not mafresh challah, it's tevel, and eating tevel is a chiyav misa bidei shamayim. It's a serious business. So you need a very important hashgacha. Now, where else do they do this? This is a very, very, very disturbing thing I'm going to tell you now. that this leniency of being mafresh to challah after you bake the bread, unfortunately, is done today in some bakeries. We once discussed this. There are bakeries in this neighborhood. Would you believe it? In the Holy Flatbush, in this holy neighborhood, there are bakeries. All of the baking is done in the middle of the night. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. They do the baking. Why they do the baking in the middle of the night? I don't know. But that's the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael is they have bakers. They have, and most people in the middle of the night are not Jewish. They're not Jewish. They come, they work there 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. They're making the donuts and they're doing the baking. Now, they make a fresh batch of dough in the middle of the night. Who is being mafresh challah in the middle of the night? The Puerto Rican? Mexican? Excuse me, who is being mafresh challah in the middle of the night? What's going on over here? So the Mashkiach, we tell him to come 2 o'clock in the morning to be mafresh challah. You know how much he's going to charge you to wake up in the middle of the night to come to mafresh challah? He's not coming. So what do they do? So you can't do anything. But they do. They bake it. So you know what they rely upon? This is a shocking thing. They leave over, you know, I don't remember the exact technique. I don't remember. But they basically, they leave over and half. And the mashkiach in the morning retroactively, okay, I don't know the exact technique, but the mashkiach in the morning retroactively is mafresh challah after everything ready is baked. The exact technique, I don't remember. I think what they do is that the goy, he leaves over a batch of dough. And from that batch of dough, in the morning, the mashkiach, he takes challah. But that same batch of dough already was used to make everything that's on the everything that's on display in the store. Are you going to do that? Not really. But it works. It's a very, very big bidi eved. And it's done in many bakeries. And there are a select few bakeries in the whole Flatbush that are machmir, lahalacha, not to take advantage of this legal loophole, which is questionable. Of if it's correct, and they have someone there at 2 o'clock in the morning to be mafresh challah. I remember Rabbi Reisman speaking about this, and I forgot, unfortunately, that was the main part of my share, just came up with my, and I have to get back to investigate this more of how it's done. And unfortunately, the way challah is being separated today in many bakeries is not ideal. See, and it's very bizarre. We live in we pride ourselves in being so religious. Everything is so perfect. Everyone has I'm not going to tell you all the chumras that we all brag about. Beis Yosef, Glatt, you go to someone's house for Shabbos. Oh, we have the most expensive meat. Beis Yosef, Glatt, the meat is the most. And yet the bread that you're eating on the table is you're relying upon a leniency that you've invented out of thin air, that you're not chayef if you're eating this bread, nisa bidei shamayim. If you were to eat treifa meat that's treif, real chaza, what violation, what are you chayef? Lashes. Take you to Beis Din and they whip you. That's pretty bad. But they don't kill you. If you eat challah, bread that you will not mafresh challah, there is a chi of death. Nisa bidei shamayim. Now, to me, nisa bidei shamayim sounds a lot more scary than getting whipped. Some people get whipped every day. Their wives beat them up every day, right? And they survive. But nisa bidei shamayim is a serious business. And yet, it's very interesting. You go to people's houses, you go to people, and they go to a kiddush. Oh, we have the biggest chumras. We have all the biggest chumras in meat and this and that. Excuse me, but what about? And we don't use the Erev either. You know, there's no Erev. No, there's no the, carrying in the streets. You know, is it called a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa? Whatever. We don't use the Erev. But the bread that you're eating, you're relying upon a very great leniency that it's not chiyav nisam de shemayim because there was no one there in the bakery 2 o'clock in the morning when they made all of these cakes. So the guy proceeded to make the cakes from the dough, and the next morning, after everything already was done, walks in the mashkiach, who was mafresh the challah? Nobody. So I'm now going to do it. I'm now going to do the challah afterwards retroactively. There's a technique of how they can do that. I don't remember the details. It's a very, very great bidi eved, and unfortunately, people are getting away with it because the consumer does not know what's going on and is not sensitive to how serious this is in the world of halacha. People will tell you the bread is yashan. Okay, listen to that. As another, it's an incredible fraud what goes on in this world. That's like, oh, we only have yashan. You know, until this generation, no one ever dreamt of eating yashan. Everyone, there was no such thing as a bakery in the world that had a big sign on the outside, Kemach Yashan. Go to a bakery now, go to any bakery now, and go look on the signs. Kemach Yashan. Wow. Whew. So machmir. Then ask them, and who is Mafresh Challah? Tell me exactly, ask them. It says here, Kemach Yashan. Who, tell me exactly how the Challah was separated from this product I'm eating that you're telling me is Kemach Yashan. And then they're going to start hemming and hawing. Well, it was baked 3 o'clock in the morning. And the only one here in the shop was a Mexican and a Puerto Rican and a cat. That was the only living creatures that were present in the bakery. And there was no one to be mafresh challah. So the next morning, the mashkiach, he retroactively was mafresh the challah through hocus pocus. Really? So you're bragging that you have a sign that says it's Kemach Yashan, which is nonsense, because l'halacha for generations, for 1,000 years, every Jew, all our ancestors ate Kemach Chodosh, because the Bach says it's mutter. The Bach paskins there's no din of Kemach Yashan in Chutz Liaretz. They say in the Kabbalah Svarim, which no one ever came back from the other world to confirm, it's true, but they say that when the Bach died, they let out of Gehenna, everyone was released from Gehenna in his honor. Such a tzaddik came to the next world in his honor. Everyone in Gehenna, there's no school anymore. Freedom, everyone was cleaned out of Gehenna in his honor. That's how great the Bach was. And the Bach paskind, Kemach Yashan is only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Yaretz, so for generations. But today we're much more religious. Today we only Kemach Yashan. And the same proud Kemach Yashan is relying upon leniencies that our grandparents would never fathom that you can abuse in order to be mafresh challah retroactively. Isn't that a problem? It sure sounds like a problem to me that we have our priorities out of order. Okay, now the next issue, next thing.
Rabbi, I think it also depends on if it's belilosa raka. The Lasa Raka is very difficult to be mafresh challah, so they wait till it's like muffins, for instance. It's Lasa Raka, so what do they do? Is they wait till it's baked, and then they take off one or two baked muffins, and that's the challah there.
And that's by Billy Lasa Raka, but most of the products are not Billy Lasa Raka.
All right.
Are, yeah. You know, the breads, I mean, most things they make are regular doughs. There are very few products that have lost. I hear. We have to go investigate this further. What I'm telling you now is not my chidushim. I'm telling you everything is shavu by Reisman. Reisman, he's a bucky muflug in kashrus. He's one of the big powers in Kehila kashrus. And he was saying like how bizarre it is that Flatbush, you know, they don't want the bakeries are able to get away with this. The consumer doesn't care. The consumer doesn't. It's the consumer that drives the standards. The consumer wants Kemach Yashan for some bizarre reason. Kemach Yashan. What about Hafrashas Challah? No, that didn't happen on. What's more chamor? Challah is much more chamor, infinitely more chamor than Kemach Yashan. For 1,000 years, no one even knew what Kemach Yashan was. And everyone knew what Challah was, and Challah was done Kedasu Chedin. Now, we live in a time when we know it's like a typical of our generation is where we focus on the psoilas and we abandon the ikarim. Okay, now the next very important yisrael about challah, there are two mitzvahs from the mafresh challah. And unfortunately today, it's a very interesting idea, there's a lot of musr in this idea, but unfortunately today we only mekayim one mitzvah. What are the two mitzvahs? There's the hafrosha schala, to separate it. Now you have dough, and you take out of the dough a portion in order to remove it from the status of tevel. And then this part two. Part two is to give the challah to the kohen, to give him a gift, to be mahane the kohen, a double mitzvah, a mitzvah of taking away the din of tevel and a din of nesina la kohen. Unfortunately, today we can't do that because today we're all tamei meis. Everyone today is in the status of tamei, and the dough is automatically tamei. And challah has the status of truma, and the law is truma tamei must be burnt and may not be consumed by a kohen. So today, we only are able to be mekayim half of the mitzvah. And this chiddush, let me read you over here, there's a very interesting whole write-up on this chiddush of the dual nature, of challah. Okay, let me read to you what it says over here. Double mitzvah of challah. Having a hard time finding over here. Let me see. If now we have to go find it here. Maybe you'll hear this here. I'm about to go on. Okay. Having a hard time finding this whole write up on this. Maybe it was in a different safer. Oh, it could be it's in this safer. It could be it's here in this safer. It's a different safer. Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay, I got it. The Noida Bihuda. Okay, that's where it comes from. Noida Bihuda writes, there are tzvei dinim in challah. There's an inyan of challah of to be mesakein the dough. And then there's a second mitzvah in challah of titnu. Okay, it's in meduik in the pasuk. All of the things of challah are so unique that you find the words. There's a lot of verbosity in the psukim. Mereishis arisoi seichem titnu la Hashem truma ledoiroi seichem. Now let me explain to you. In the parasha of challah, as we began, there is a lot of verbosity. And all of the verbosity, the repetition of the words, each word comes to reveal a new dimension to this mitzvah that is truly unique. And one of the unique things of this is the verbosity where it says here with you, Pasuk Chaf verse Pasuk Chaf Aleph. First it says, Reishis Ari Soy Seichem Chala Torimu Siruma. The first of your dough, Chala Sorimu Siruma. This portion that we call Chala, you shall uplift. Kechalsa. The Targum doesn't even have a translation for the word. Chalsa, that's what it is. The item that you translate is called Chala. You shall uplift a seruma, and the pasuk compares it kisrumas goyren. It has the same halachic status as grain, of what you lift up from the grain. Kain torimu oisa, so shall you lift it, which means we learn from this the shiurim, how much you should give. We learn that there's a chiyav nisa bidei shamayim if a zor yisrael eats from it. Okay, and then the pasuk says and repeats itself. And it's mysterious why the repetition. Mereishis arisoi seichem, from the first of your dough, titnu, you shall give Lahashem truma lidoro seichem. By the way, from the word lidoro seichem that we learned that this applies to all generations, regardless, like we started today, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, even if you do not live in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference. Once the zman of challah begins, it never ends. Once we came into Eretz Yisrael, it takes us back, our entry into Eretz Yisrael, for all generations. And here in this pasuk, which is entirely superfluous, it says the word titnu, you shall give. From here, the Noida Yehuda learns, and the truth is, he writes, he prides himself in saying, I'm telling you a chiddush that no one ever said before. that there are two separate mitzvahs in Hafrosh Haschala. Number one, to remove from the dough the status of Tevel. Number two, to give it to the Kohen. When you give the Truma to the Kohen, you are doing a mitzvah. Question, how is that different than Truma? It appears, we know the Behuda, that when you, the mitzvah of Hafrosh Haschala is not to give. The mitzvah of Truma is to be misaking the dough. The dough is tevel. You're not allowed to eat it because in the dough is the property of the Kohen. So I separated it. So what do I do with it now? Well, give it to him. It's his. Oh, I'm getting a mitzvah? No, you're not. It's his. You don't get a mitzvah when someone takes what they're entitled to. The Kohen has an entitlement to receive the Truma. When the grain grows out of the ground, there is a portion of that grain that was never yours to begin with. Never. It was never yours. It grows. You harvest it. You nurture. You take care of it. And, oh, here it is. You may get a mitzvah. You say you're getting a mitzvah that you're, you know, when you do, when you work, when you have a profession and you work, it's also called a mitzvah. You also get, even if you're being paid to do something, it's also called a mitzvah. But it's not a high level mitzvah in the sense that it's his property. It's his. Let him take what belongs to him. Yet, when it comes to challah, it's an incredible chiddush. The Rebbe Yehuda is mechadish. There's a new idea. I never heard such a thing before. The Torah is giving the balabais challah. It's yours. When you give it, it's considered to be purely an act of you giving benefit to the kohen. It's not just that it's his property. I can't eat it. It's kodesh. Okay, I can't eat it. But it's still called mine to the degree that when I give it to the Kohen, titnu, I'm getting credit to giving a gift to a Kohen. Today, we can't do that. Because today, everyone is tamei meis. And the Kohanim may not eat it. And the great, and the chal is tamei from the get-go. And therefore, we have to take it, we have to burn it. The halacha is, challah has to be burnt. That's the halacha. That's why people mock they burn the challah. It's only a bidyevet to destroy by throwing it to the garbage. You can do it also bidyevet. You can throw it to the garbage. Some have a minute, they take at least a mashu. Midaraisa, even the smallest amount is challah. So they'll take a mashu, and then mashu will burn. To the kind of halacha that has to be burnt. And then the remainder, they'll throw in the garbage, because bidyevet, that's also good. But in any event, there's a special mitzvah of giving. I'll read you over. He writes something very interesting. The Yehudi writes over here. He says that this concept, the chos of hanodu b'Yehud. Where do you find a nusach like this? When a poysik writes something, al chidush zeh shudover chodosh loy kodmani bozeh shum miforesh oy poysik. The node of you that says that my chiddush, that there are tzvei dinim in challah, to be misaking the tevel, and number two, to give it, is my idea. I have a patent on this idea. There's no meforesh or poysik that ever said such a thing. Along comes the computer, the mechashev, the author of the sefer, the Oitzah Plos HaTorah, and he says, excuse me, someone beat you to it. Someone beat you to it, and that is who writes is the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rishon already said this chiddush. V'chein kos amar atzchius v'hagohosav v'amsach degitin v'zeh l'shoni ayin Tosfos Rid soy perik beis de kedushin v'ayin shut noyde v'yehuda shekosav gamkein sorazo b'zeh l'shon v'yeshli loymai dove chodosh sheloi kodmani odom mi'olam v'nelam b'mechilas kivoy terosoy ki kvar kodmu b'ze gedoyle ha-kadmoinen. Okay, the Noyde Yehuda lived not that long ago. Tosfos Rid lived probably 700-800 years ago. So already 700-800 years ago, he already said this, he said that there are two mitzvahs in the midst of Afreshas Challah. And perhaps we could explain that is why there's a minhag kadmon. Before a woman is mafrish challah, she gives tzedakah. Why? Why do you give tzedakah when you mafrish challah? Why would you want to do that? What's the lamnas? I know you'll say we light candles. When women light candles, they also give tzedakah. All right, one thing at a time, not necessarily. Not everyone gives tzedakah when they light candles. But challah, it appears it's more common. So they'll say, oh, when you do a mitzvah, you should do another mitzvah. No one really has clarity in why there is such a powerful minhag that when you mafrish challah, you should give tzedakah. And the answer comes from this Noda B'Yehuda. Being that mi'ikar hadin, the din of challah, that seidinim, the din of being masaking the dough. Number two, there's a mitzvah of titnu. So it's painful when you mafrish challah, you can't fulfill the titnu b'zman hazeh. To make it up, give tzedakah. When it comes to other mitzvahs, you don't have to give tzedakah. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. You do a mitzvah. No, when you do the mitzvah of kisri hadam, you give tzedakah. When you do the mitzvah of shchit, you give tzedakah. When you take dalad minim lulav and esek, you give tzedakah. You don't find people giving tzedakah. Neiros, when you light neiros Shabbos, for some reason, some, not everyone, I'm not even so sure that it's so common. Everyone, I'm not so sure it's so common, but when it comes to challah, there's a hakpada, you give tzedakah. You know why? Now you know why. The Noda B'Yehuda is an incredible chiddush, is because that seidinim, there is to separate it, and then there's to give it. Not like truma. Truma, there's no din giving it. It's not, you're not giving it, it's only giving it. The kohen is taking what he is entitled to, it's his property. Challah is yours, yours to give. I can't give his man hazeh. It's to tame. So do the next best thing. The kaihanim represent the poor people, represent the teachers of Klal Yisrael, the Klei Kodesh of Klal Yisrael. Titnu, be mekayim that mitzvah. Okay, there are a few other things. I'm going to go to the very end because we have a few more things over here. Bachala. Chala, by the way, is Rosh Hateves. Chana. Chana. Why was Chana, the woman that we read from her prayer on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we lay in the first perek of Sefer Shmuel, the tefillah of Chana. Chana, why was Chana called by the name Chana? Who invented that name? Who gave her that name? So the Hagoyis Maimoni, would you believe this? He says, this, I don't know where the Hagoyis Maimoni got this from, the Hagoyis Maimoni, which was probably like a Rishon, going back over here 700-800 years, he writes, Gal Shem Zenikra Tzadekes Hagidoyla Chana, the holy woman Chana, Rosh Tevois, Chala Nida Hadloka, Shekima Shalosh Mitzvos Elu Kuroi. We say these are three mitzvahs that were given to an Isha. The mitzvah of chal, it's her domain, the mitzvah of nida, and the mitzvah of hadlokas neiros, the ikeres habayis. We light Shabbos candles called kvoid Shabbos. Where the kvoid Shabbos and the bayis. Whose bayis is this? The ikar bayis, the ikeres habayis is the isha. This holy mitzvah, which first began when we came into Eretz Yisrael, which involves two parts, all these things we learned today, it was given, there's another big dilemma, whose mitzvah is this mitzvah? Is it the woman's mitzvah or is it the husband's mitzvah? Who's paying for the chal? Who's paying for the dough? The Hagoyis Maimoni says, the mitzvah of challah is a woman's mitzvah. A man has no right to take away this mitzvah from his wife. If his wife is making the baking bread and she's preparing the dough, it is her zuchus to make the bracha, Asher kiddushan b'mitzvahs, b'mitzvahs l'hafresh challah, and to do the mitzvah of mitzvah, a man has no right to interfere. Just like a man has no right, nida, it's her body, and the mitzvah hadlokas neirois, which is ordered to give kavod habayis, shalom habayis, ish dikeres habayis. And that's why she was called Chana, Rosh Hateves, challah, nida, hadlokah. This issue, is it really a woman's mitzvah, is a very big dilemma, because l'may nafkamina, there's a halacha where you steal somebody's blessing, you're obligated to pay someone 10 gold coins. I don't know how much 10 gold coins equal, but there's such a principle. If a person is about to do a mitzvah and you come along and you snatch away his mitzvah, you have an obligation by halacha to pay him for the damage, for what you've stolen from him, the schus. For example, let's say a person is shechita. There's a general rule, the one that does the ma'isa shechita is entitled, has first rights to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam. It's his mitzvah. So let's say you're watching, someone does the shechita, and then you run in, chap, and you say, and you take out some sawdust from your pocket and you cover the blood. Mechutzif. You have no right to do that. The mitzvah belongs to the one that did the shechita. What right do you have to go to do the mitzvah of kisui adam? You stole his mitzvah. You stole his bracha. So the halach is he can take you to Beis Din. Do you believe this? And Bezin can force you to pay him 10 gold coins for stealing his mitzvah and his bracha. And it's not just when it comes to kisui adam. There are many examples where a person is an entitlement to do a mitzvah and make a bracha. And if you steal it, you have to pay him 10 gold coins. So here is a halachic dilemma, which has not been answered. It's a machloikis rishonim. A woman, she makes the challah. Right, she makes the challah every Shabbos. Whatever she does, whenever she does it, she has dough and she has water. And now she has 43.2 eggs worth of dough, and she's about to mafresh challah. The husband says, "Excuse me, wife, who paid for this dough? Who pays the rent here? Who pays the electricity bills? Who's paying the gas bill? Me. Step aside." I today will do the mitzvah. And I want to make the bracha. I need a schus. I want to make the bracha. Step aside. Can the wife say to the husband, listen here, Mr. So-and-so, you married me. You committed yourself to marry me. With marriage comes rules and regulations. There has to be social distancing. You have to wear a mask. You have to be careful what you say. By marrying me, with marriage comes rules. And one of the rules of marriage is a woman, the wife, it's her mitzvah. Bud off, get lost. I don't care you pay the bills. I don't care you pay rent. I don't care you do everything for me. It's my mitzvah, not your mitzvah. Get lost. If he violates that rule and he does it against her will, he has an obligation to give his own wife 10 gold coins. That's the halach. That's because ad kidei kach, chala is an isha's mitzvah ad kidei kach. He has no right to interfere. And if he does interfere, the rules of stealing someone's mitzvah are in play, and he has to pay his own wife on top of everything else that he does for her. He has to give her the equivalent of 10 gold coins for stealing her mitzvah. Incredible. It's a woman's mitzvah. Okay, now there's another very big important dilemma when it comes to challah, and that is challah called a mitzvah chiyuvis or a mitzvah kiyumis? What do we mean? Tefillin. Do you wear tefillin every day? Of course. You have to. You don't have a choice. You wake up in the morning, you got to put on tefillin. It's a chiyuvis. You have an obligation to go put on tefillin. Matzah, Pesach night. You got to go buy matzah. You got to go before Pesach begins. You got to prepare. You have to. Shmarta mesa matzah. It's v'chalta matzah. It's b'layla hazeh. You don't have a choice. What about shechita? Slaughtering an animal, kosher meat. So most of the Rishonim learned, it's not called a mitzvah chiyuvis. It's called a mitzvah kiyumis, which means, kiyumis in this context means, if you want to be a vegetarian, good for you. You can be. There's no reason why a Jew cannot be a vegetarian, an Orthodox Jew. Yom Tov becomes a bit of a problem. Yom Tov, not Shabbos. Shabbos definitely not. Yom Tov, to be a vegetarian on Yom Tov, okay, we could talk about it. But generally speaking, you don't have to eat meat. If you want to eat meat, you have to do a Maisa Shechita. But you don't have to wake up in the morning and every day or even once in a while, I have to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Shechita. So I'm going to go learn Yeridea. I'm going to go study Hashimosh, how to do Shechita. I'm going to buy my knives. I'm going to learn how to check the knives. And I'm Mekayim, the mitzvah. I cannot leave this world. And before I'm Mekayim, the mitzvah of Shechita. Sherei Kedushan, the mitzvah is the son of Allah Shechita. No such thing. If you happen to want to eat meat, you're in the mood for turkey roll, so then you have to do shechita. That's the way it is. You don't have to put yourself in a situation to do the mitzvah, but if you want to achieve another result, then mainly you have to do shechita. Here is the big, big, big dilemma, which is also unresolved regarding challah. Is the mitzvah of hafrashas challah a mitzvah chiyuvis or a mitzvah kiyumis? Shocking question. You would think, let's say truma. Are you mechuyev to be mafresh truma? No. If you happen to have a farm and you happen to have grain, then, so now you have an obligation to go be mafresh truma. You're not mechuyev to go buy land. No such thing. There's a halacha that a Jew has an obligation to go purchase earth and to go and farm and to produce grain so that you can be mafresh truma and maestros. No such thing. If you happen to have in your possession grain, okay, so now you're missing mafresh truma semaitris. What about challah? This is very fascinating. It's a very unique mitzvah. Some place can hold a human being, a man, has an obligation to go buy flour and add water and produce the equivalent of 43.2 eggs worth. It's a lot. It's a lot of challah, a lot of dough, 43.2 ounces, not ounces, eggs, equivalent, egg, how big is an egg? A beitza is about 6 ounces, no, that's way too much. I don't remember, equivalent of fluid ounces. How many kazayas? I forgot already all the calculations already. Okay, whatever it is. But a person has an obligation. Some place can hold it. A person should go and purchase flour and water and make for himself a batch of dough, 43.2 eggs worth, in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of challah. That's the halach. It's a mitzvah chiyuvis. Other parts can say no such thing. If you happen to want to eat a piece of bread and the dough which the bread comes from happens to have such a large volume of 43.2 ounces, then there's a mitzvah to be mafresh challah. But you're not obligated to put yourself in a situation where you will be mafresh challah. It's a very big dilemma. And all this depends on various diyukim and the verbosity of the pasuk. The pasuk says so many different words in the pasuk, and it's not so clear. These are dilemmas. Get to wind down. I want to show you some other things. Some want to say some a very beautiful thing from the Menachem Mendel Mirimanov. He was the person that was very into the Mun. He wrote a whole sefer on the Mun, and he says the word challah is Rosh Hatevis. I like this very much. Not in order, the letters backwards. Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Hatrifeni means to feed me. Toreif toraf Yosef. Provide me lechem, bread, chuki, my allotment. Being mekayim, the mitzvah of challah is a very great schus. And in that schus comes a bracha. It says in Mishle, Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Some of us, they, why is it that we call the bread you have on your Shabbos table challah? Okay, you go. Yeah. What do you call it? You have on the Shabbos table Friday night two chalos. They're not chalos. Where does that come from? Chalos. You have on your dining room table two loaves of bread. You have. What is this term? Who invented this term on your chalos? Challah is a very limited word. It appears in the Torah. It's used to describe the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. Where does it come from, the word challah? So some of the Mepharshim say we invented it in order to remind us, when you look at the bread on the table and you're going to call it by the name challah, it will trigger a reminder, wait a minute, did I separate challah? Was I mekayim the mitzvah? And no, now the coin of the Yehuda, was I mekayim two mitzvahs? Was I mekayim, did I remove the din tevel from this loaf of bread? Number two, did I give it to the kohen? Was I mekayim the mitzvah of titnu, of providing the kohen benefit, like almost like tzedakah, of giving him what to eat? It triggers a thought. It's a reminder. It was by design. Klal Yisrael, throughout our history, for some reason, have decided that the bread that appears on the table should be called by the term challah, the same word that's used in the Torah to describe the portion that is taken out of the dough and given to the kohen to eat as a gift to remind us before you put a piece of food into your mouth. It's a double reminder. Number one, is it kosher? And number two, does someone else have what to eat? Think about it. That's a very powerful thing. Because now that we learned today, being that we know that challah has two, there are two elements in challah. There are two mitzvahs. Tikkun, make sure the item is kosher. It's not tevel. You have to take off a portion. Number two, there's a special, unique mitzvah, titnu. You, it's yours property to give to the kohen, to give as a gift. We have taken upon ourselves the custom to call all the bread on our table challah to trigger these two thoughts. When you look at a piece of food, when a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, looks at a piece of food, you have to ask yourself two questions. Number one, is it kosher? Is everything that was supposed to be done to this food, has it been done? Number two, does someone else have what to eat? Or am I the only one who is enjoying food? Titnu. Was I mekayim the mitzvah of titnu? Part of challah is titnu. You have to give to the kohen. All right, to summarize, we're done. To summarize, let us review some of the basic yesodos, all of the yesodos that we learned today about challah. Number one, challah is unique relative to every other mitzvah that it began at a moment in time. The moment on the 10th day of Nisan when we entered into Eretz Yisrael. There is no equivalent. All the mitzvahs, either tuluyos ba'aretz, it depends on living in Eretz Yisrael, produce of Eretz Yisrael, or anywhere in the world. The only mitzvah that first began, that exists in the entire world, but the starting point was the 10th day of Nisan, 40 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, is the mitzvah of challah. Every time you come to the mitzvah of challah, you're going back to the 10th day of Nisan when we entered into Eretz Yisrael. Very unique. Explains why the first pasuk, Bereshis, Beshvil Reshis, Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz, explains what Rashi says. This whole section is only here to talk about Kedushas HaAretz. The land was given to Klal Yisrael on the 10th day of Nisan. It's not a surprise then that the first word of the Torah, Bereshis, Beshvil Reshis, Challah, Beshvil, our entry into Eretz Yisrael. Next Yisoid, we learned there are Tzedinim in Challah. There's a din of Tikkun of the Tumah, of the Tevel, and a din of Titnu. As we said, the minig is to call Challah, bread Challah, to remind us of these two things as food kosher, and the other people have what to eat. We learned the Machloikis, the Yerushalayim, is the mitzvah of Challah, mitzvah Chiyuvis, or mitzvah Kiyumis. Is it a good idea that occasionally, once a year, a man every person has an opportunity. He should put himself in a situation to be mekayim the mitzvah. It's a good thing to do. It's not just if you want to eat bread, no, you have to be mafresh chal like shechita. No, it's a higher level. You should look for an opportunity to make the bracha and do it yourself. We discussed the issue of making matzah. When you make matzah, it cannot be reishis because it might turn into chomer. The shmartim esam matzah is trumps the halach of reishis. And they have to have a very good hechsher to make sure that they do that. When the mafresh challah afterwards, it's done kedas uchadin. We discussed that in bakeries today, it's a very, very big problem. And it's much bigger issue than yashan. Today we live in a world of tuffel and ikkers, as our priorities are upside down. The much bigger hiddur that challah should be separated with all of the hidurim and eat chadash than to eat yashan, where the challah was separated on very, very shaky ground. And Hatrifeni Lechem Chuki is Rosh Hashanah. Chana was called Chana. It was her mitzvah. Chala, Halakha Saner, and Nida, those three Lechana. And the dilemma, is it a woman's mitzvah? Is it a man's mitzvah? Can a man go? Can the woman charge her husband 10 gold coins in order to give up the mitzvah? Okay, obviously there's a lot more. But for this, today we'll have to stop with this. Have a wonderful day. Be well. All the best.
Thank you.
Ashkach.
Ashkach, keep well.